It is anything. It is everything. It is the Buck Gritano Podcast. Ancient alien theory. Ancient civilization. Spirituality. Mythology. Reality TV. Reality TV star. Current events. Not so current events. Comedy. Religion. Music. Authors. Sports. We cover it all. We talk about it all. Right here. Right now on the Buck Gritano Podcast. And now, here's the man who makes Stream of Mind a streaming sensation, Buck Gritano.
Alongside the guy who won't be quiet, playing an intro. Welcome to Facebook Live, What the Buck, with Brett. I got Brett Miller. He played in the NFL for 10 years, in the NFL for my New York Jets for 2 years. I'm sorry to hear you play for Rich Kotite, but man, I apologize.
I didn't play for Rich. I played for your best friend, Bruce Coslet.
Oh, Bruce, that's right. The worst offensive coordinator in history. I'd like to welcome New York. Man, New York is bad. One thing I want to say to Brett, before I get Zach in, Zach Hampen. Look at this. I messed it up. Hampel, my 10-year-old son. Look at that. I get nervous. I'm sorry. Zach Hampel.
Jake,
Yeah, Jake's my man over here. He's yelling at me. Yeah, yo. But anyway, I'd like to welcome Zach Hampel on. Before that, we had a conversation, and I wanted to bring it on the air right away. Horse racing is my thing. Passed the buck. It was for 7 years. Did it for USRacing.com. Going to have my boy on, Hall of Famer, and he's just retired, Gary Stevens. So one of the best. Actor, he does it all, man. So he's going to come on maybe next week with us, with the guy in the middle. So you got to be quiet during the intro. But Zach Hampel, how you doing, man? And I love your YouTube channel. What's up, bro?
Doing great. Loving the off season, and thanks so much for checking out the videos.
2 years ago, I saw it about 2 years ago, and I was really intrigued with it, man. Because everybody goes to a baseball game. And you think about it. You bring your glove. You always tell you know, my 10-year-old son, you bring your baseball glove. You never know. We were driving on the Van Wyck. I got to tell my story. We're driving on the Van Wyck, and we're heading to Citi Field. And we got these free tickets for a Mets game. But the box, we got the meals and the food and stuff like that, the luxury box. So driving in, my son goes, he's sitting right here. God is my witness. He goes, Dad, you ever catch a foul ball before? I said, no, I never even came close. Maybe three sections away. Never came close. So we get in there. We open the refrigerator up, man, in Citi Field, right behind home plate, like perfect foul ball territory. And we sit there. We open it up. We have sodas and beers. And I'm like, oh, this is, oh, my God. Hot dogs, hamburgers from the Shake Shack, just stacked up. Nathan's French fries. So we're like, this is great. Sit down. The first batter was Atlanta Braves. The kid name was, I think, Simmons. You probably know him, maybe. He's on the, I think, the
Andrelton Angels. Simmons.
Perfect. He's up, right-handed batter. He hit one back, and it went right above us. I said, oh no, this is great, man. We're gonna get a foul ball, right? Right. So the ball is, you know, the ball. Next pitch, boom, right at us. I just chuck, catch it barehanded, right hand, catch the ball. Hand was killing me. Pulled it up. I was like, yeah, I got one. But on the way in, my man Jet, we called it, man. It was like the best thing. You do that every time you go, it seems like, to a major league ballpark. Now, we all know the story of Zach Hampel. You know, we all know you collect the baseballs. You had A-Rod's 3,000th baseball, which is crazy. The Mike Trout catch, that's up there with catch of any kind of sport, man. You jumped, hurdled a seat. How do you put yourself and keep getting – is it luck? Because I don't go to a racetrack, and it's luck sometimes. I know the number five probably will win. You know, I have a – but still, I have to, you know, get lucky for that horse to win. Is it luck what you do every time you're in a major league ballpark?
That's a good question. And my favorite quote of all time addresses this, and it's from Branch Rickey, who was the executive who signed Jackie Robinson to play for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he said that luck is the residue of design. And that's really how I think about it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not luck when you put yourself in the right situation. You won't tell you what us, because I'm a Mets fan. I'm a diehard Mets. You won't say what fan you like, what team you're a fan of, right?
He's no
team. I know.
He's like baseball. That's the whole league. He's a baseball fan.
I'm a baseball fan. But I grew up as a Mets fan. In fact, I just posted something today on my Instagram, a Throwback Thursday photo of me trying out for the Mets at Shea Stadium when I guess I was 16 or 17.
Wow.
I didn't make it, but, you know, I definitely loved the Mets. And over time, I just realized that I was more a fan of individual players and the game. And I just stopped rooting for one team. And I just really liked the whole entity of Major League Baseball.
Oh, that's great, man. That's awesome. I saw the picture. I saw it. It was pretty cool. I saw the picture.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, Zach, do you know a guy that played for the Yankees? His name, he was a pitcher. His name's Arnie Costell. Back in the late 80s, I think.
I really first started getting into going to games in 92. That's a little before my time.
He was my neighbor when I lived in Marina Del Rey. And all that guy did – actually, he's the guy who got me into the Wooden Bat League out here. But all he did was, like, drink and bitch and talk about what a badass he was, how he used to throw at people. And so he goes – so I said, listen, Arnie, I said, my first love, my first sport, I was a better baseball player than football, just happened to go down football. He goes, oh, really? You think you're a good football player? And I was like, a baseball player? I said, no, you know, I'm not a pro, but I mean, yeah. He goes, well, let's go up and hit some balls. I go, okay. So we go up, and I'm in flip-flops.
This is all the concussions, man.
I'm in flip-flops.
This is NFL shorts. Right here. They
I'm in
money.
Flip-flops and shorts, and we go to Pally High, and he gets out there, and I got some jumped-up wooden bat. I got my hat on backwards. Homeboy starts throwing me, like, 85-mile-an-hour fastballs. And I was like, you know, it was great to hit a few, but after I hit three or four of them off him, the guy beat me. He, like, threw a BB at my ankle. My ankle was...
Do you blame him? Do you blame him?
I should have got out there and cracked him with the bat. That would have been justice.
Oh, wow, that would have been nice.
Yeah,
man.
You're about half taller than him too, right?
What's that?
I said you're probably about half a foot taller than him. Also,
you know what?
Right?
He's a pretty big guy. I'll bet you he was 6'4", 6'3". He's a big dude.
You could still take him.
Yeah.
Question about.
You know, this is with John Nash over here. Not John Nash or what was his name? The wrestler. The big sexy guy with the ponytail. I forgot his Nash or something like that. That you remind me of. The wrestler. But you're not into wrestling. Yeah, you remind me of him a little bit there. You're beating someone
that's
with
like,
a bat.
That's like
stuff
saying you remind me of the Jerky Boys. Is it just?
I like that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh, I had the tapes. I had the tapes. So you're talking about when I grew up. So
yeah, I had a great school.
You've seen the movies, man. But
I want to hear more from Zach.
That's what I'm saying. So you gotta like let him talk.
Hey, you guys
know?
Continue. I'm gonna go get another cocktail. I'll be right back.
Yeah, he's all nice.
Give me 30 seconds.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Let's get him out of there real quick. Let me just exit him out. This is my
now. Now we can talk about him now that he's gone.
He's all right, man. You tried out. What year was that? That was in. You said 92. You tried out for the Mets.
94.
Because I know that.
I think I was just short of my 17th birthday then when I tried out.
I know the Brooklyn Cyclones have a tryout every year and stuff like that. When I was younger, I always wanted to, you know, try. Because I wasn't really a great baseball player. I held my own. You know what I mean? I played the all-star teams and stuff like that. My son is a good ball player. He gets the glove for me a little bit. I wasn't really a good hitter. But going there and collecting baseballs. Now, I know that it's definitely an obsession of yours, right? I mean, beyond the point of that, right? Wake up, go to sleep.
For sure.
Is there a day that goes by you don't think about baseballs one time? Probably not, right?
No, especially now with the whole YouTube thing. It's become a year-round thing for me. There's no escaping it, even if I want to.
It's pretty cool where you go to a major league ballpark and these kids know who you are, man. So you're keeping baseball alive with the youth, which you don't see no more, man. I live in Queens, New York, and you go by any field or any basketball court or anything out there, there's no more, man. It's a dying. I mean, you don't see kids go out and play baseball like me and you did with the neighborhood kids. You don't see that. So what you're doing with the YouTube channel, 300,000 subscribers, man, that's really hard. You had your and people say yeah, and they're real hard on you, man. I don't even know you personally, but they're super hard on you, man. You had your 15 more than 15 minutes of fame, right? But you continue to take it somewhere else. You donate $150,000. To a charity that is close to your heart. No one does that. And they're talking about you on social media that he's going to keep the ball, he's going to do this. And they didn't even realize 3 years ago that happened. They think it happened yesterday. And they still hate on this dude, man. I haven't seen nothing nothing but positive. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it, man. But I love how you do. You step up and say, you know, I'll tell you what you read, man. This. And talking about sexuality – Like, come on. I know people hide behind this computer, but when you show your face and stuff, it changes. I like what you say. You know, keep the pride of anything. Then no one needs to know who, what sexuality you are. You, but I just want to know how you catch baseballs, and you do it damn well, my man. You have three books out. I can probably go through the books. People can see it. I got the right now. It's How to Snag. You can see it right here on Facebook Live. How to Snag Major League Balls. You look like a little baby in that picture. Probably that's when you tried out for the Mets that around that time. Watching,
yeah,
you get smarter.
About 19 in that photo, maybe 20.
What was the position you played back?
I was a shortstop my whole life, and then got bumped over to third base in college, which I didn't like as much. I really feel like shortstop is the most athletic position.
Where'd you go to college?
So I went to Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is a D3 school. It's a Quaker school. I'm not Quaker, but there were only about 1,300 full-time students when I was there, so everybody knew everyone. And our baseball claim to fame is that Tony Womack played all 4 years there. He was an all-star second baseman on the Pirates, led the National League in stolen bases a couple times. So I think he's about 8 years older than I am. But he lived in Greensboro. He came and worked out with the team, fall ball. I turned double plays with him in practice. So he was a really cool guy.
It must have been a great experience.
Oh, yeah. I love college. I never liked school. I never got into the academics, but just the experience of college was amazing.
Well, you must learn a lot, because the YouTube channel is crazy. I clicked and subscribed. My son says, you smash and, or smash it, the subscribe button or something like that. I don't know. These kids today, it's right? It's different. But a full-time – come here, Jay. Say hello.
Come on, Jay. Get in there. What's up, my man? How's it going?
You want to hear some?
No, I can hear.
Yeah, you can hear it through there? Okay. There he is. Ask him a question, man.
Do you like playing baseball more or watching it?
Well, my first choice would have been to play Major League Baseball, but I can't do that now, obviously. Open tryouts close for people older than 25, so I've missed that mark by a little bit. But I still love to play, but I definitely watch baseball a lot more now at this point in my life.
I was going to tell him to ask you the question. He's like, no. 2019 season, which stadium do you look forward – now you want to say look forward the most to seeing in 2019?
I'm going to go with London Stadium. Is that what it's called? Is that the name of the ballpark in London where the Yankees and Red Sox are going to play at the end of June? Because I'm all about going to as many different stadiums as possible.
Wembley? Do they convert Wembley to a baseball field?
They're converting something. I haven't even paid close enough attention to it. But, you know, I think I'm also going to go over to Japan in March when Major League Baseball opens the season there at the Tokyo Dome. Because if the wins and losses count for the teams and the stats count for the players, then I can count the stadium on my list of places I've been and the balls that I've caught. So I've actually been to the Tokyo Dome already, but I've never been to London for a game. This is going to be the first baseball played in Europe. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
That'll be cool. Hey, I have a trivia question for you, Zach. I heard the other day, somebody was in an argument that I was just listening to, and they said, why are these Japanese pitchers coming over here and just annihilating all these hitters? And they said in Japan, the umps don't call the corners. Is that true?
I've never heard that before, so I can't speak on that subject. But
that would make sense, though, right? Because they have to be so accurate that if they run the ball over the corner, it's a ball.
Huh. I've never heard that, and I've obviously seen a lot of Japanese guys pitch, but I haven't watched Japanese baseball. Even when I was at the Tokyo Dome, I was there to see Major League Baseball 6 years ago.
Sure.
That's an interesting theory, though, and I'll ask around and see if I can hear anything.
You see the Japanese pitchers come into Major League Baseball, and they come in like a little dominant. I remember, what was the one that we had for a while? The Nomo. I'm at the Mets game. It was like, Nomo. That was cool. We had him for a little bit. But they come dominate real, like, for a couple of years, 1 or 2 years. And then all of a sudden, it seems like Major League players just pick up on their I don't know what it is, man. They're not the over-dominance, hard throwers, or nothing like that. I'm not a baseball guy no more. My claim now is CYO fifth grade basketball. So let's go. We got a Christmas tournament coming up. So that's what I'm into. But I know it. Japan baseball is pretty cool. The Eats. You went over there. And what year was that?
2012.
How was the food, man? How in Japan? How was the food?
The food was pretty intense. I mean, they do eat some things over there which are really weird for my standards. You know, and you have like baby squids on a stick and you're just seeing little kids biting the heads right off of them like we'd eat a popsicle or something. It's like, oh my God.
Godzilla.
But, you know, it's arbitrary. Like, you know, why is it okay to eat one animal and not another? So there was a lot of stuff over there that was not appealing to me, and sometimes I just couldn't understand anything on the menu and I just took my chances and sometimes bit into something and something weird fell out. I ate some raw shark heart while I was over there.
Oh my God, did you really?
Yeah, it was disgusting, but I just wanted to try it. And that's my favorite trip that I've ever been on.
And how many balls did you snag on that? How many balls did you snag?
I could look that up. I don't have it memorized, but I think I got about 20 balls in 2 days, including batting practice.
I'll
look it up quickly. Maybe I'm overstating. Let me look that up.
I've been to Japan twice, and I love both times I was there. It's an amazing country.
Okay, I got 23 balls in 2 games.
Wow.
But I think they were all batting practice balls and warm-up balls.
It doesn't matter. Yo, I don't judge that, man. You go to a game. Balls. And you get a ball. Like, that's like the ultimate. And I've seen you give out balls to kids. I read on the criticism, he pushes kids over. I mean, I saw videos. I never seen you. Kids come over to sign tickets. My son's like, yeah. And I don't know where they get that, but they hate, man. They hate. I don't understand.
People that can't do hate, man. That's the ticket. People are envious.
That's what it is. Boom. You hit it. You hit it.
Envy. They hate. If they can't do it, they hate. And if they can't, oh, man. I mean, Zach knows. Buck, you know. I certainly know. I mean,
you know better than a lot.
Hey, man, it's easy to lose faith in humanity when you're doing the things that Zach's doing.
That's true. Now, in whole, Zach, do you get a big positive? Is that definitely more positive at the games, right? Can you hear me or I'm too low? I'll be lower.
I can hear you.
Okay, because you come closer. Is it a more of a positive the feedback you get than negative? Especially on YouTube, man.
In person, it's overwhelmingly positive. I've averaged going to about 100 games a year for the last 7 or 8 years, and I've really only been doing the YouTube thing full time for the last couple of years. And I would say, on average, probably 100 people a day come up to me at stadiums. So you take 100 games, multiply it by 100 people. That's, let's say, 10,000 people that I'm meeting over the course of the season, which might sound crazy, but that's legit. And there's probably a single digit number of people who are rude in all of those people. So, and it's pretty much only at Yankee Stadium.
That's funny.
People are really cool overall, and I do appreciate that. And, you know, I don't expect everybody to like me, but I do find that the more people know about me, whether they've read my blogs or my books or seen me on YouTube, the more that they've seen me or know about me, the nicer they are. And I think it's the people that just hear secondhand stuff get the wrong idea. So it's nice to have the chance to talk to you guys and set the record straight a little bit. And
that's funny.
You know, just chat about my favorite subject.
No, that's cool. Now, you have the charity that the A-Rod ball you caught. You picked up off the floor. Yeah, pitching. Yeah, tell them, Jake, what is it?
Pitching for Baseball.
Pitching for Baseball is the charity, right? That gives equipment to kids that need it all around the world. How much? No, I don't mean how much, but... yeah, it's to say, how much have you donated? Yeah, pretty much. How much have you donated to that organization besides the ball? Because I know you do auctions on your YouTube channel, right?
Prizes.
Yeah, you give out prizes.
Sort of.
Cool.
I do fundraisers, and I give prizes out as incentives to people who donate money.
Now, why did you choose that program? I know you don't a lot of money donated there, but why that program?
Yeah, more than $200,000 has gone to that charity through my efforts, and $150,000 of that was from the Yankees for the A-Rod ball. I didn't directly donate $150,000, but I snagged that baseball, gave it to A-Rod, and the deal from the Yankees was that they would then donate all that money to the charity to get that ball from me. So, but you know, I certainly could have sold that ball and
well, you did,
and
you profited did tremendously. Actually, but realistically, you did give 150 G's because you just gave the ball back. You gave him a $150,000 ball. So, you know, take credit where credit's due, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But no. The haters will say, oh, but he's saying blah 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 blah, and he's just trying to be humble, man. Zach is a humble dude.
Well, the haters will say that I held the ball ransom, quote unquote, and I forced the Yankees to, you know, hold a press conference for me, and I made the Yankees donate money to charity. To which I say, first of all, the Yankees offered to donate something to charity before I ever mentioned anything. They had the idea of doing a press conference because it made them look good and they wanted to have a big audience. And it wasn't holding it ransom. It only took me a few days to decide what to do with it. And then the Yankees were gone on an 8-day road trip. So I couldn't even give the ball to A-Rod until the team got back. So that's why it took 2 weeks. And just the fact that people give me crap for how long I had it things that they heard. I mean, the Yankees came out, one of their spokespeople even said that I was unwilling to negotiate. And I'm like, are you kidding? I just had a meeting with Randy Levine, the team president. All we're doing is negotiating. So I guess they had their wires crossed up. It was just so crazy. I'm not going to blame them for that. But, you know, you just really can't believe everything you hear. And, of course, you know, a certain person always likes to talk about fake news, and it causes a lot of distrust.
It does.
Where a lot of times I don't think that there should be distrust, but I can tell you personally that sometimes the media really does get things wrong.
It's funny. He was on Mike Francesa, man. I used to listen to that man all the time, and he brought you up in the clip I saw. And I'm like, I can't stand this dude, man. After Stan Lee passed away, I love Marvel, man. I love the Marvel movies. We watch Marvel like we watch baseball. After his passing, he's like, who's Stan Lee? Stan Lee, you know? No one knows him. Who cares? He wants his 15 minutes of fame. Yeah,
that's a good impression, by the way.
Yo, but anyway, you deserved your 15 minutes. You put yourself in a position to grab that ball. That ball was, it was like, it was sent from the heavens, man. The Nephilim, like I would say to my other guys. But it was, that's absolutely amazing, man. What was that, 3,000 balls to Mike Trout catch? I could play that for people in slow motion. I have that. So let me throw that up.
Yeah, right. Mike Trout's first career home run. Crazy. I climbed back over a row of seats while the ball was in midair. I was proud of myself.
The dance that everybody was making fun of, that you caught back-to-back nights, I believe it was. Oh, that? Oh, come on. That's the old Charlie Brown, man. Yeah.
Butter churn.
Whatever you call it. Yeah, the butter. Oh, come on. They were jealous. So you do this full-time now. This is a job. You have a video guy with you that helps, I guess, edit this stuff. I don't know how you do that stuff, man. That's some good stuff. That's work. That's a 9-to-5 alone, just editing this stuff.
Social media is a huge commitment, man. I got to give you props. It's a huge commitment. People have no idea.
No, they don't. And you know, some of the haters are always saying, like, you know, it must be nice not to have to work or get a real job. First of all, why would I want a real job? That's not as fun. But what I do is actually a ton of work. And you could say, like, you know, I've actually been waking up at like 11 a.m. or noon recently, but I'll be up till 3 a.m. editing video or working on other stuff. I'm overhauling my website now. I'm trying to get some merch together. That's I'm actually doing, in yeah. the process of hiring a new videographer. I parted ways with my old guy. So, you know, even though it's the off season, even though it's December, there is nonstop stuff for me to do. I was interviewed today for an hour for a full length documentary that's being done about me. I was talking to a renowned sports psychologist, and now I'm talking to you guys. So it's just, there's a lot of stuff, and it is definitely hard work, but it's fun work.
I'll tell you how ignorant some people can be and how these haters are. My second year in the league, when I was in Atlanta, I was somewhere out having dinner, and somebody actually came up to me, and I'm not joking. They said, so Sundays, I know you work hard on Sundays, but what do you do the other 6 days of the week? You got a great job. You only have to work one day a week.
Wow.
I was like, and that's the mentality.
But Zach, his NFL, you know how his NFL was.
Product though, Zach. They see the YouTube thing and they're like, oh, that took him 20 minutes to do. It's like, no, dude, that took me about 50 hours. They just don't. Yeah. People just, I'm telling you, man, yeah, hater tape.
But yeah, you had a block better for Kenny O'Brien, man, when you came over. But that's why they didn't play you in the Houston game. I'm telling you, the Houston playoff game. I can't get it out of my head. Jets were in Houston. What year was that? 91, right? 91. And they had that run and shoot offense. I couldn't stand Givens. He had the dances too. Like your boy on your team, White Shoes, who started it off, Billy White Shoes. But he was down. But Billy was down with the Hail Mary.
Billy was legit.
No, but he was down. Like, he wouldn't have got in the end zone. His knee, his like leg part came down first. Yeah, before the ball.
Shut up.
Yeah,
you're just talking about when we came back and beat you all in the medal. And Shea, right? Is that the game you're talking about?
Shea. No. We had no team, bud. Shea.
Well, my rookie year, we came to Shea, and you guys were ahead 21 points, and we came back in the fourth quarter and won.
Oh, who was our quarterback? Oh, Richard Todd. Come on. Richard Todd was nothing special.
Well, at least
he was from Alabama, too, I believe, right?
At least you didn't have Bruce Costa for head coach.
Yeah, but I had coach. We had Bubba Gump Shrimp, dude. What's his name?
Let's get back to Zach. I don't give a shit about football.
What's his name? The guy who? From the Jets. Bowles? Yeah, he was Bubba Gump Shrimp.
I don't know.
He was in the Forest Gump. Bubba Gump Shrimp. He does. He really does. But anyway, let's go back to Zach. Zach.
Yeah.
question. Yeah. Good question.
How long did it take you to make the rubber band ball?
That's a good one.
Oh, I'm always happy to talk about the rubber band ball. So, in fact, I have this rubber band ball sitting right over here. I'll bring you over for a second.
Yeah, do that. Just look at the size of this band thing. Ball.
Oh, my God.
Now,
that's solid?
How the hell did you get rubber bands that big?
So that's the rubber band ball.
Oh, that's
it weighs 312 pounds now.
Oh my God.
Started working on it when I was 4 years old. My mom helped me get it started. And at this point, I try to add about a pound per month.
Wow.
So I have not yet done a pound in December. So before the new year, I'll make it 313
pounds. I hate be the people downstairs for you, man. You bounce that ball. Forget about it, man.
I can't lift it.
You can't lift 300 pounds. Yeah, it's like you guys, an offensive lineman. What, 305 or something like that? 6'7", offensive lineman. Now, question. A YouTube video, you caught a ball. I don't know which video it was. Maybe DD or something. I don't know who it was. And you bent down, you kissed a lady. Was that your mom?
Yeah. I think that was a Ryan Flaherty home run.
That's right. Orioles,
at Yankee Stadium in 2015. And yeah, my mom happened to be there. So,
cool.
That was like the two best things at once, right? Catch a home run, give a kiss to your mom.
Hey, besides the obvious with A-Rod and Trout, what's your most memorable catch? Like, what was the one where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I actually pulled that off?
The Trout one was actually pretty easy because it was so empty there. There was no one around me. It was just like, I just had to judge it right and climb over a row. But like, I kind of almost expected to catch that. It was just like, you know, you idiot, like hit me the ball. There's nobody here. Like do it. So once he hit it, I was like, oh my God, I got this. But, I would say the last home run that the Mets ever hit at Shea Stadium. That's my favorite ball ever, even including A-Rod. And it was so crowded out there in the left field bleachers. And, I mean, I've looked at my own photos from that day from the bleacher, you know, just like how packed it was. And it's just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I navigated through everybody and picked the exact spot where it was coming down. And I jumped up above everybody. And that was insane.
It was game time. That's it. Created the monster, man.
Hail Mary goes baseball.
Now that day, that was the Expos they played that last series, right?
It was the Marlins, actually.
It was the Marlins. What? Oh, you know what it was?
In fact,
I saw the Expos. I'm sorry. I saw the Expos last game was at Shea Stadium. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because me and my son, my other son, who's 19 now, we went to a game, and it was the last, and we got a ball. Eric Valente was the outfielder for the Mets at the time. Remember him? He was a little gutsy little kid.
White guy, lefty. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was Todd Zeal with him, and he flipped over the ball to my other son, and the Expos signed it. It was kind of weird, but like, because they all came out after the game was over, moments like that. Another doc. Another,
that's cool.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool. Like some like one percenter of the Zach. You know, we can't get that. Like 10,000 baseballs. Before I get to the other one, the helicopter drop.
Oh, yeah.
What was that about, man? What made you think that? He had a guy get a helicopter. Explain. Drop a baseball from 1,000 feet and try
Did
to
catch
it.
It?
Yeah, I took a lot of tries. It took a lot of tries, but I did eventually catch one drop from 1,050 feet high at a minor league stadium in Lowell, Massachusetts, early in the morning, nobody in the stands, and that was a world record. So
barehanded or with a club?
Barehanded. Are you crazy?
Come on. You can try.
You can break my record for catching
that's
barehanded.
Bruce, that's Ball. Bruce Smith. That's all Bruce Smith.
That's
right
insane,
there, man.
Though, dude.
Crushing him. No, crushing my man.
I'll protect it. Catcher's gear, but it was a lot of fun, and the wind was crazy. They told me when they came back down that the wind was blowing as hard as 20 miles an hour in different directions at different altitudes.
Wow.
So when they dropped the ball, I'd see it drifting one way and I'd run, and then it would drift back the other. And of course, there's a lot of haters in the comments like, what an idiot, he kept dropping them, he couldn't judge them. And I'm like, okay, you don't
feet,
know what was going on out there.
But
it was
still
it was a lot of fun.
1,000 feet up.
Could you see the ball that far up?
I could, yeah. I wear contacts, and with the contacts, I have like 20/15 vision, like better than perfect.
Like a BB.
Yeah, so what helped me see the ball was that it was really cloudy that day. So the baseballs looked like teeny, teeny little grains of sand just like floating up in the sky. Like if you chopped a poppy seed into 8 little pieces and took one of those pieces and held it up high, that's kind of what the ball looked like, the tiniest speck. And that was the most fun athletic challenge of my life. And if I could do that every week, I would do it. It was so fun. It was a great workout. You know, wearing all that gear, I was wearing a catcher's mask. It was heavy. So I was like, just tilting my head up, it really
it
hurt
off.
My neck. So I'd hold it with one hand until they dropped it, and just the running around and the sweating. It was so fun.
Yeah, because
so
if that
fun.
Ball hit you in the head with no headgear, it'd kill you.
Right, and I was thinking, even with the gear, if it were to hit me in the face, that could have snapped my neck, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
That was a chance I was willing to take. I know what I would love to try.
Have you ever gone skydiving?
I did go skydiving once, yeah.
We should jump out of the plane and see if we can play catch all the way down.
Ooh.
No, because you juggle the baseballs, man. You got to get that YouTube channel.
I don't know.
To 500K.
The ball would probably stay about the same level. I don't know if you could do it, though, but it'd be pretty fun to try. Did you see that knucklehead jump out of the plane into a net?
Yeah. That's crazy. He jumped out and he no parachute, and then he landed in a net that was probably about 30, 40 feet up. I saw that. He landed perfect, too. Pretty crazy. Now, one thing before I let you go. I don't want to keep you that long tonight.
I want to keep him. He's interesting.
I know. He's cool. He's cool. That's why I reached out to him. He's a cool dude. That's the two-a-days, man, bare hand. That's just too many two-a-days there, Brett. Come on. You know, you don't have that no more. But besides baseball and collecting or baseball period, what other stuff do you like to do, man? Like, you're into movies, you're into anything else, or just all baseball, man?
You know, this is going to probably sound like the craziest thing that I'll tell you all night, but my favorite time of year is when there is no baseball. And for me, that's actually when I come alive. And maybe, you know, you can relate to that. Maybe you love the off seasons because it was just your chance to get away from it, from playing football and escaping the grind for a bit. I don't know, like everybody's different, but you know, when I was in high school, and even younger than that, like baseball was the only thing in life that I cared about. And if I wasn't doing something baseball related, I was practically angry. Like it just felt like a waste of time. But now it's the opposite. There's just so much other stuff that I like to do. And really everything that I do is motivated by people. You know, I've just sort of found that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm going to be most excited about who I'm with.
Yeah,
so I'm just really social. I have a great network of friends, and I'm constantly seeing people almost every night during the off season. And I'm really, really into music. I obsess over it in my own weird way. You know, there's other people who are obsessed with catching baseballs, but I've never met anybody who does music quite like I do. And in the off season, you know, I eat healthier. I exercise more. And I can just kind of, you know, I run a writing group also, so that takes up a lot of time. And just, you know, I get into all kinds of things, but it usually involves people in some way.
It looks like you'd be a Beastie Boys kind of guy, music-wise. I don't know, but I see Beastie Boys, but whatever. Again, what, Brett?
Do you play an instrument?
I played piano for like 5 or 6 years as a kid, and then, you know, just going through school, violin in fifth grade, clarinet in sixth grade. I sang in some choirs. So, no, I don't play at this point. I don't play professionally. I've never been in a band, but I very strongly believe that if I had pursued music, I could have had a career in music. Not saying that I would have been like a world famous rock star, but in some way or another, I definitely could be a full-time musician or music person. It really just flows through me.
There's my horse racing people now. Does he bet the ponies? Does he bet the ponies in the comments? No, he doesn't bet the ponies. Buck bets the ponies. I'll bet them for you. Don't worry about it, man.
Please. Yeah, I've never gotten into horse racing. I've been on a few horses in my life, but I've never
been taken to like a nice Saratoga racetrack on a Saturday, and you go out there and you have family and you bet some races. Oh, it's great, man. It is great.
Brett's making faces at that.
That's all right. That's all right. But it's great,
I love horses, but betting on a horse, bro, I've been with some people that are like the trainer of the horse and this guy and that guy and that guy. And when I was with KTLA, they had the whatever horse racing network that is. And I would sit with those guys down at Del Mar and listen to their stuff. It was like,
great place, you know, Del Mar, but man, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great place, but you see all the guys that are experts, and they don't have two nickels to rub together.
There's no such thing as an expert, man.
They fancy themselves experts. They spend like hours writing.
No, you win 20% in horse racing, you go to the Hall of Fame. That just tells you the odds on horse racing. So, I love it's a very athletic sport, man. It's a sport. Oh, it's a sport.
Those guys, jockeys have balls of steel.
Oh, I got a guy. I got a guy 5'9" that probably would beat you, Big Beach.
They're hanging on for dear life. Those horses are big.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Well, what are they going, like 40 miles an hour?
Some 30, 37, 30, something like that. Almost 40. Miles. Yeah, almost 40. I give it to you. Over short distance.
They're like
Zach getting to a foul ball, man.
Wait a second. Isn't Paul Loduca a big horse racing guy?
Oh, yeah. Paul, I always yell out to Paul Loduca. He came on my show a couple of times, yeah. We talk about the Mets a couple of times. That's true. Yeah, he got into horse racing. He's one that hit a big race on Kentucky Derby Day with a horse called Giacomo. It was a 50-1. Mike Smith was the jockey, Hall of Famer Mike Smith. He wins all the races. He said bet the 7. Yeah, the 7 train. Yeah, like the 7 line. Okay, whatever. Anyway, somebody's posting up stuff. I'm sorry. But he's a good dude, man. Paul LeDuc is a good dude, man. I like him. He likes to bet the horses, and he bets them well. 50-1, and he won a couple of dollars. And he was playing with the Marlins at the time, too, so that's pretty good. One day, was it? No, that was Mike Piazza was a Marlin for only a couple of days. And I got them confused for a second. Yeah. Both Dodger rookies, you know, rookie of the years and stuff like that. But besides the baseballs, number one collection that you have, what's your number one prize possession that you have in your possession now?
Aside from the baseballs?
It could be a signed baseball, whatever. But you know, I know you have your baseballs, your 10,000 baseballs. But do you have one baseball that's your thing or one memorabilia thing that you really
like?
Do
you have 10,000 baseballs?
I don't own them all. I've given away thousands of balls over the years.
Oh, my God.
But I still own thousands of them.
Really?
And actually, I did a video on my channel of building a pyramid of baseballs. So if you guys haven't seen that, take a look.
Yeah, were they in cubes, or did you do them outside of a box, like just the baseballs?
Oh, no, nothing containing the baseballs. Just you know.
Just raw?
Yep.
If the Egyptians could build pyramids, Zach Campbell could build pyramids too, you know?
Wait, guys, you're both talking to me at once. Brett, what were you saying?
I said, I'm going to start following you. You're an interesting guy. I like you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But to answer the question, huh?
Go ahead.
To answer the question of maybe my most prized possession, I think I would still go with the last Mets home run hit at Shea. Okay. I do also have in my possession here a Barry Bonds home run, number 724 of his career.
That's cool.
So that's cool to have a home run hit by the guy who has the record for the most home runs. Asterisk or not, that's still pretty cool.
Okay.
I have a Derek Jeter home run ball here. And, you know, I mean, I have some other ones that are not – that wouldn't be worth as much money if I were to sell them, but they're still worth an awful lot to me, like my 10,000th ball or just like even a home run that I caught on Mother's Day with the pink stitching and stamping. That was pretty special.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
They had pink stitching on that?
What's that?
They had pink stitching on those balls.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know,
that's so cool.
If you want me to step away for 10 seconds, I could go grab it and show it to you. But
yeah, I'll show it. Yeah, show him. He likes it. It's pink, man. Go show him.
A little. All right, I'll be right back because I gotta. Just give me 10 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Yeah, next time you don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all cool. This guy's very interesting. If you like to check out Zach Hampel's YouTube channel, you can just search Zach Hampel. He's got books. You go to ZachCampbell.com. He's got 3 books available right there if you want to buy his stuff, his books. He also has an audio book, though.
Wow. Oh, my God. It's bright pink, dude.
I like it.
That's rad.
Isn't that cool?
That's really rad. I love that.
That is pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. I wonder if that affects how the hitters see it coming out of the hand.
It actually does, and Major League Baseball has discontinued these.
Wow.
Used the pink balls for a few years. And last year, they introduced a blue Father's Day ball, and I was lucky enough to get one of those in Cincinnati, and they discontinued them for this year. And they had special balls for July 4th for, I think, just one season last year with red and blue stitching. They had for Memorial Day, like a camo-colored ball, like olive green stamping, and unfortunately, I did not get one. I just didn't go to a game that day. I was like, I'll do it next year. I'm tired. And I lost my chance, but you know, I love these Mother's Day pink balls. They're pretty rare.
I got a question for you. We got a question from from Steven Scott from the Rockaways. Who hit the pink ball? How'd you get it? Or somebody hit it? Or
that one?
Yeah, the pink one.
That was a Brett Gardner home run at Yankee Stadium, and it was on Derek Jeter Day. They played like a single admission doubleheader. And I caught that ball, so
that's awesome.
That was pretty special.
Awesome. You can call that back quick when somebody asks you where'd you get that ball. You obviously concussions, my friend.
I've been holding this in a special place, like up on a shelf with some of the more special baseballs to me, so I know which one it is. But you know, for most of the balls, if I just picked one up, I wouldn't necessarily know where it came from. But this has the special stamping and the color, so
yeah,
it's very
so cool. I had no idea that they differentiated balls like that based on holidays and special days. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, now normally on this portion of the ball right here, you'd see the standard MLB logo with the silhouetted batter.
Right.
But there's been a real big movement over the last few years in Major League Baseball to come out with commemorative baseballs.
Oh, wow.
So they basically replaced the MLB logo here with some other logo. So the Mother's Day ball, they have the ribbon for breast cancer awareness. But, you know, anytime there's, let's say, opening day or the Home Run Derby or the All-Star Game, postseason, World Series, they have a special logo for that. When it's the first season of a new stadium, there's a special logo for the whole season. When it's like next year when the Texas Rangers are closing down their current stadium, they'll have a commemorative ball that the Rangers use all year.
Right.
So there'll be one in Japan. There'll be a commemorative ball for London next year. Hopefully I'll get one. So, you know, I try really hard to get commemorative baseballs. And there's a lot of other guys out there who've really been getting into it also. So it's much more competitive, but definitely adds a fun element to collecting.
Hey, you know, everybody knows Jerry West is the guy on the NBA logo. Who is there a guy that's the Major League Baseball logo?
I once heard that it's Harmon Killebrew, but I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the greatest hitters of all time,
too,
man.
You could argue that, you know, depending on your perspective or what your brain sees, it could be a lefty or it could be a righty.
Right. Yes, that's right. And it's the same way on the NBA logo. It's like, however you look at it, he's just doing a lefty or a righty.
What do you think about my Mets trading for Robinson Cano? Right? And I know Diaz. You bring 36-year-old Robinson Cano back to New York. Wow. Owing him that much money? My Mets, what are they doing, man? What do you think about that trade?
I mean, that's the Mets being the Mets, and I think it'll be a good move for the next couple of years. But, you know, the New York Yankees passed on signing him because they didn't want to have to deal with the back end of that contract. So what do the Mets do? They pick him up, and now they get the back end of the contract. But he's still a middle-of-the-order type of hitter. He should be good. And they're obviously getting a lights-out reliever in Diaz. So, I mean, I think it will be good for them in the short term, but they're going to get bogged down by that contract and probably regret it in a number of years.
Yeah, I agree with you 120%. It seemed like that's the way the Yankees would do everything. Like, they would sign A-Rod, they would sign this guy, and the last 2 or 3 years left on their contracts, they would be like, how do we get rid of these guys? They're doing it right. I mean, the Mets, when they want to spend money, the fans are reaching out looking to kill Fred Coupon and the rest of them. And I'm tired of it. Like, spend money. All of a sudden, they do this. No, I want the Bryce Harper kind of guy, man. But it would, like, when I was in the 90s, like, growing up in the 90s, at least they went out and they signed the top free agents. I mean, they didn't work out. But
Bobby Bonilla, yeah.
I think they still have an annual payment for Bobby Bonilla, the $1 million Bonilla payment, right? Oh, wow, that's amazing. But I think you're right, 100%, 100% right. One more from Steve. You ever catch an all-star home run, all-star game home run?
Never gotten a home run during an all-star game. Okay. I've been to, I think, 6 all-star games, if I'm correct, and I've gotten baseballs at all of them, at least in batting practice, including some commemorative balls, because they don't always use the commemorative balls during warm-ups, but never a home run during an all-star game, unfortunately. I've never gotten a postseason home run either.
Wow.
Although I was really, really close last year. Francisco Lindor on the Indians hit one that I thought was coming right to me. And then Aaron Judge jumped up on the warning track and caught it right in front of my glove. So special. I got robbed by another 6'7" person out there. I was pretty pissed about that. But it was a nice play by Judge. I can't blame him. Obviously, he's doing his job. But, you know, it would have been fun to catch that ball.
And you also said that after the A-Rod thing, I throw it in before we let you go, that you almost felt like Bartman, like catching that ball. And you brought him up. So that must have been really a mental, like, situation you were going through, man. I think this clicked in my head. I was like, he thought he was going to be called banned from baseball. Bartman's the guy from the Cubs. Remember when Moises Alou went over to catch a foul ball in a playoff game, and this guy reached over and hit the ball out of Alou's hand? I don't even think the fan even could have caught the ball. But you said that you felt like you were him, possibly could be him, you know? And what if it been, if that situation would have happened, what would, like, you couldn't be near a baseball stadium. You had to go in with glasses. Could you, what would you do? Like, what would you change the hockey pucks? I mean, I don't want to sound like stupid, but what would have happened in a situation like that?
I mean, if I had reached over the wall last year in the playoffs and interfered with Aaron Judge, I realized that I could have single-handedly ended the Yankees' season.
Yeah,
because they were losing 2-0 at the time, and it was best of 5. And they ended up winning that game 1-0, and the ball that Lindor hit would have been a 2-run homer. So if I had interfered with it, they might have ruled that a home run. Yankees lose 2-1, their season is over, and it's because of me. Right. That's not the kind of responsibility that I want to have. If I'm a player, I would love to end somebody's season, but if I'm a fan, no, I'm not going to become a participant. You know what
but
I mean?
A decision like that, like just to go after a ball, you don't even think like that, man. You're zoned in, and you're probably, your kicker is get this ball. I mean, if you're at the game, always looking for you're mapping out your chart. You know what I mean? So one little
not reaching over the wall.
But it's an instinct to catch something, I guess. When you're so into it, I don't know. It could have happened. It could have.
It is an instinct, but I've also, you know, I'm a student of the game, right? I've been around it for a long time.
Okay.
And during batting practice, I'll reach far over the wall and catch them. But during games, I try to be careful not to interfere. And when that ball was descending toward me, I was just saying this phrase over and over in my head. I was like, don't interfere, don't interfere, don't interfere. And what people don't realize
is that the
right field wall at Yankee Stadium is actually about this thick. It's like a thick concrete wall. So I just basically laid my glove on top of that fat part of the wall, right where it was going to land. And I saw Aaron Judge run back, and I'm just like, oh my God, he's going to make a play on it. He disappeared from sight, and I figured, like, he's probably crouching right below, and he's going to jump up and catch it. So I just had my glove there in case he missed it, but then his glove just came up out of nowhere and caught the ball, like, a foot in front of my glove. So I was very aware of the sort of the spatial arrangement of everything, and I really wanted to make sure not to interfere. But then, of course, I got crap from everybody about, you know, just you name it. I had to block about 250 to 300 people on Twitter that night. That's how rude people were being.
Really?
Yeah, I was up till like 3 a.m. just blocking people on Twitter because, you know, if people want to criticize me, that's fine. But when they start making false accusations and they start really, really getting personal and nasty or threatening me, then they get blocked. So I blocked, I think I blocked about 1,300 people on Twitter over the years.
Holy shit. Aaron, yeah, that is a large human being.
What a ball player.
That's a lot of man.
He's a big dude, man. He's one of those genetic. I mean, he's a. First time somebody told me, because I watch playoff baseball. I usually don't watch regular season baseball because I think the playoffs just compresses everything. It's much more exciting to me. Mm-hmm. But somebody said, you got to check this Aaron Judge guy. It's Aaron Judge, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is gigantic, and when he hits the ball, he flattens.
That's your size, right? He's 6'7", right?
He can play baseball, and he can run. And I mean, he's got some wheels, right?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, the guy, jeez, I'd follow a guy like that just to watch that big man work, because that's a rarity when a big man can move like that.
Yeah. Now Zach, we got Zach Hample, and I'd like the last question to let you go. How do you set up your schedule? What ballpark you're going to appear at during the season? Are you in once the schedules come out? You set yourself up with a trip, a road trip. How do you hit all these ballparks in one season?
Yeah, the last 2 years I've been to every stadium every year, and in fact, just this past season, you know, there's only 30 major league teams, but I went to 32 major league stadiums because I was in Puerto Rico and Mexico to see actual regular season games. So I went to more stadiums than there are teams. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before, so that was fun.
That's cool.
You know, I have dates that I pick out sometimes a month ahead of time, maybe even 2 months ahead of time, but then half the time those dates end up changing. So people are always clamoring to get my schedule and they want to know where to catch up with me, but I often don't even know. And I usually fly Southwest, where you can change or cancel flights at the last second. So if I'm going to be somewhere on a Southwest flight and I see that there's a huge storm coming and it's going to rain, I'll just switch my flight and go to a different city or where they have a dome. And so I don't really like to reveal my plans because then I feel obligated, like I owe people something. And like I mentioned, you know, probably 100 people a day come up to me as it is. Sometimes maybe only 30 or 50, but then in the summer when you're at Dodger Stadium and there's 50,000 people, it just like the numbers multiply like crazy. So it could be hundreds of people in a day. Excellent. And it gets to the point where I can't even move around or catch baseballs or film the videos because I'm just surrounded. And I like that and I appreciate it. And it's certainly a rush, you know, just to know that this many people care about what I do. Cool. It's a great feeling. Brett, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that as a professional athlete. It's great when people want something from you, but it can be exhausting at the same time, and you have to protect yourself and your time and your energy. And so I just feel like if I always announce my games, there might be 3 times as many people or 5 times as many people who show up. And these people like me because of the videos, but if I can't then film the videos, it's sort of this catch-22. So I feel bad not telling people where to find me, but at the same time, I kind of need to keep my schedule more secretive, you know?
Next time you come out to Dodger Stadium, give me a heads up and I'll meet you out there. It's not that far from me. I love Dodger Stadium.
Is that right? Yeah, I'd love to catch up with you at a game.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's awesome, man. You guys can check out. Now, for Forney, YouTube is like amazingly – I never knew how big YouTube was until my 10-year-old son has to get off it because he's on it for hours. So, you know, I said
– my kind of kid.
Yeah, exactly. Millions and millions of views. That's the way people are doing stuff now, man. So Check him out, Zach, right? Check him out on YouTube. You check him out, right? You hit the subscribe button. Say goodbye to him. Yeah, jump in. He's saying the whole time.
Bye.
Nice chatting with you.
That's my man, Jake. But Zach Hampel, I appreciate it. And check him out on YouTube, everybody. And take a look at what he does, man.
Really a pleasure meeting you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Super interesting.
Here, I'll get in touch, and hopefully we can connect at a game sometime.
That'd be great. I'd love it.
Pretty cool, man. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that. Have a good night, man.
All right. Great chatting.
Later, man. All right. So that was Zach Hampton. That's pretty cool, man. I really do appreciate it. And we'll have a good night, I guess, man, right? Because me and you, if you stay on too long, then people disappear. But thank you so much for, tuning up, joining up with me and talking to Zach. Zach's an interesting dude, man.
What a great guy.
The way he does it, man.
Super cool guy. No pretense, legit, real dude. I really like that guy a lot. He's legit.
He's pretty cool, man. I reached out for him like a couple of years ago, and like he says, during the summer, you cannot get him to do nothing.
That guy is so busy, and for him to sit down and talk to us for an hour about this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, just BSing, that's all.
What a great guy.
Just sitting here BSing with him, man. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. Check it out. Let me post it up real quick for everybody to check it out. I got his website here. It's zachhampel.com. Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what's even crazier than that? You got to check out his YouTube channel.
He's like the best YouTube channel ever.
Yeah, but still, no, he gets a lot of props. He got over 300,000 subscribers, millions and millions of uploads.
He's got a ton of haters out there, though, that just can't stand the fact that he's living life and enjoying what he does for a living. And he seemed like one of the most solid guys I've met in a long time. Legit. No bullshit around. Just great kid.
Cool guy, man. He's doing his thing. That's what it is. Like, I'm sure the same thing came to you, with you when you were in the NFL, where people were hating on you. You made the team. Somebody got cut. And they talk BS behind your back during practice. I'm sure it's the same cutthroat. A business,
You know what it is, though, Buck? It's like back in the day when I was playing, it's like people didn't have social media. So if they had something to say to you, they had to come up and say it to your face. And people didn't want to do that. Now they can hide behind their computers and talk mad. They can really get off on somebody's thing. And it's like there's no repercussions. I guarantee you, if instead of social media, if somebody had something bad to say and they had to stand in front of who they were telling it to, there'd be a lot less hating going on because,
The old-fashioned way.
Huh?
It was settled the old-fashioned way, right? They don't do that no more. Yeah. But this is how you spell it. It's Zach, and it's Hampel. I put it on top of the – you can see it right now if you're watching. But look him up, man. Check him out.
If you look up his first name,
If
you look up his first name, his last name.
Oh, you look up his first name on YouTube, and his last name will pop right up. Yeah, check it out. Next week, I got a really cool guest. I told you about the Hall of Fame jockey. He'll be coming on next week. Gary Stevens, he's from your neck of the woods. He'll come on, say hello. After that, I got a pretty cool guest on who found or researched elongated skulls in Aruba. So she's so interesting.
I just watched something today. I watched a show on today about the monoliths, and I watched. There's this gigantic monolith. It's a huge stone where they built a city on top of it, and they can't figure out how they did it.
Baalbek? Was it Baalbek?
No, it's in Lebanon? I'll look at it again, but it was all about Easter Island. It was about Stonehenge. It was about blah, 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 blah. It's like, come on, man. They said that if according to how they said it was built by slaves pulling stuff on ropes, on logs, it would have taken 250,000 slaves 125 years to build this one thing.
And they don't tell you on Easter Island there was no trees. So how are you moving that? There was no trees.
And the stones weren't on there, too. And they don't tell you that 3/4 of those Easter Island statues are underground.
And her name is Heather Arnold, and she wrote a book on it. She lives down in Aruba. And every government is hiding these finds. You don't see them. Back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, there were a lot of giant skeletons found and elongated skulls. Yes. But
I was watching that about the Giants.
The Smithsonian Institute would hide it. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's going on that we're going to try to get to the bottom of. I don't know. Catch a Foul Ball is one in the Major League ballpark. 10,000.
The Giants could have just reached out over the edge of the stadium, plucked it right out.
There you go.
Sacked it out.
That's it, man. They would have killed him. If you would have grabbed that baseball in that playoff game, his YouTube career was over, dude.
But that was so smart that he didn't. And you know why he was smart enough not to do it? Because he played the game.
Yeah, and
Schmuck thought he was going to make a name for himself and ruin a playoff series.
Yeah, yeah. Think about it. Bartman couldn't come out until they won the World Series. But until they won the World Series, then he was allowed to come out of witness protection. I guess
wanted to kill him.
The mob family, the bosses, all the bosses are gone, and he can finally come out of living in Arizona. Wherever he was, I don't know. But we're going to have some great guests lined up. I got to give my horse racing people a little taste of Buck still. But, I mean, you get to know about him, how it takes to work out to be a jockey at that kind of level.
They have to be so fit. It's got to be unbelievable.
Oh, I tell you, my buddy, Mike Smith, he's one. I got a picture over here somewhere. My boy Mike, every time he comes to New York, I would say hello to him and stuff like that. Won every race there is, and he's so humble. I call him up right now. He'll come on and talk to us. I mean, he's just a humble dude, man. And I won't forget them guys that, you know, it's like the NFL. Well, hopefully we could talk to some of your old ex-players.
Yeah, I'll set it up.
Yeah, you let them, you know. I'll set it up. I'll get
Chris Hale on here. I'll try and get off their feet on. I'll try and get Eric Dickerson on. We'll get some people on.
If whoever, I like to talk to anybody, man. Them guys, your generation is my generation of what I grew up with football. So
I'll get Jeff Christian on from the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm down. You know, I'm down.
Remember Chris? Chris played left tackle for the Jets when I was there.
Yeah, Chris. I remember.
Yeah.
Who was the other guys on the offensive line? Yeah, Sweeney was on it, right?
It was Jeff Criswell played left tackle. Dave Cadigan played left guard.
Cadigan.
Jim Sweeney played center. Okay. Dwayne White was my guard, and I played right tackle.
Boyer was the tight end at the time, or was Mickey Schuler still there? Okay.
Yeah. Dressel, Boyer, and there was a Mickey something or other who was the older guy when I got there.
Mickey, I don't remember Mickey.
Yeah, it was Freeman Brad. You remember Brad Baxter?
Of course.
He lights some people up, boy. He used to murder people. I saw that guy hit. We were on the game. We saw it on the sideline.
And it was a tight end, too, right? Fred Baxter, right? Remember? Did you play with Fred Baxter or no?
I don't know. No, he
probably came after you. He probably came after you left.
But I know Brad Baxter, when we watched the hit on film, we thought that he killed the guy. Because I've never seen a person's body react to getting hit like that. It looked like a grenade had gone off on his body because his whole body just kind of went boom.
Was Johnny Hector on your team with you? Johnny was still there.
Sure.
Johnny should have got more props, but he didn't get to touch
Johnny
the ball.
He could play.
Yeah, he could play.
Arthur Cox that played for the Falcons.
Which one was that? Who?
Arthur Cox. He was a gigantic tight end. He was slow, but man, that guy. He'd catch balls across the middle, and he'd have the ball, and you'd have a little DB hanging on one foot, and he'd be like scooting up, the guy, and the safeties would come up to light him up, and Arthur would lean in and knock him out when they were tackling him. Wow. You got to Google Arthur Cox.
I got to look him up. So I'm trying to figure out who to play with. On a defense, you had Kyle Clifton was one, right? He was still there, right? The middle linebacker. Yeah, New York, I'm saying.
Marty Lyons.
Marty was there. Was Klecko? Klecko was still there or no?
No, Klecko wasn't there. Jeff Loggum was there.
Jeff Lock. Yep. Mo Lewis was his rookie year, I believe, when you were there, right? Mo Lewis?
Mo Lewis was there, yeah.
He was a badass player, too, Mo. I think he...
Brian Washington.
That's right. Brian Washington.
Target. James Hastie.
Hasty, man. That's one we're going to get on. Yeah, because he said he'll come on too, Eric.
Hasty's one of my best friends.
You got to hit him with the message. They need to come on, Buck. Talk to him. Because you're really like nailing in the. I send all these guys.
Casey's a good dude, man. That whole crew, we had some really good guys. Too bad we had such a shitty head coach.
There we go again. I wonder where he is these days. I'm going to put a Kozlov picture up every time you talk about
it. Put a Kozlov picture. Put that big dumbass's picture up.
Nah, next time, I'll get it all set up. That's all so right. Funny. You really don't like that guy, man.
No, I don't.
That was Boomer's boy, but right? That was,
yeah. Whatever.
Boomer's a good guy. You look like Boomer Esiason a little bit. Got that little Boomer look.
I got better hair than Boomer. Boomer's got that. I think he puts that shake and bake stuff in his hair to make it look like he's got more hair.
The flakes. What the buck? Brett Miller, Buck Rotano. Hopefully every Thursday night we'll bring you something new. Thanks for watching. Thank you so much, Brett. We'll come back next
week.
See you
guys. Right? Thanks, right, Buck.
Later, man.
Be good.
Later. And the broadcast. Yeah, that's cool.